Mystery Album, Part 11. As we turn another page of our mystery album, it is not too difficult to identify the next sepia print. Any puffin who has ever strolled along Frederiksgade in the direction of Rosenborg Slot, perhaps after the changing of the guard at Amalienborg, possibly on account of an early afternoon appointment with Prince Consort Henrik, will recognise the impressive basilica pictured below. If not, an inscription within an elaborature above the columns of the Doric arch provides a googleable clue. It reads Herrens Ord Bliver Evendelig. In these godless times, both reassurance that the word of the Lord endureth forever and proof that our mystery posh mystery family has stood before the impressive frontage of Frederik's Church in the Frederiksstaden district of Copenhagen almost 100 years ago. The photo is taken on a cobbled street, and you'll note, despite standing in the middle of it, the photographer hasn't been squashed by the traffic. Only two cars and three people are in sight. The building on the right is number 17, Frederiksgade, presently the home of Findal Sandrews & Company, WCSO law firm, who specialise in shipping, transport, energy, offshore construction, insurance, global trade, litigation and arbitration. On the left, and disappointingly out of view, is number 40-42, Bredgade, named according to an adjoining avenue that it faces. Also known as Bernstorff's Palace, confusingly there is another Bernstorff's Palace in Bernstorff's Park and a couple of miles to the north. This Bernstorff's Palace was built by Johann Hartwig Ernst von Bernstorff, described by its restorers, Juden, as everything a mansion entails, a well-preserved gem which hides under the shell on gold-plated stucco decorations, marble floors, and large two-leaf filling doors. The foundation stone of the property was laid in 1752 by order of Johann Hartwig Ernst von Bernstorff. He first had to seek approval for the construction from Nikolai Eigvted, who was the main architect behind Frederiksstaden. However, the construction was already part of the plans, which together with Den's Palace on the opposite corner were to be a link between the Marble Church and Amalienborg Castle Square. The building has been gaudily restored in the needlessly over-elaborate French style and is presently used by the Eastern High Court as an overflow from their more Scandinavian building, which lies a block to the northeast, though the residents have included Crown Princess Caroline and Crown Prince Ferdinand of Denmark, King George of Greece and King Haakon VII of Norway. It's a shame we can't see it in our mystery album photo, but a fairly contemporary representation can be seen below, as our mystery family would have wondered at it all those years ago. The Marble Church, or Marmorkirchen, is another name for Frederik's Church. Designed in 1740 by the same Nikolai Eigvted, it sat as a building site for 150 years until being completed to a different design in 1894. In the Rococo style, 12 columns support a 100-foot diameter dome, the largest in Scandinavia. Interestingly, although the present Queen of Denmark, Margrethe II, was born in 1940 at the Amalienborg Complex's Frederick VII Palace, a few hundred yards away, she was neither crowned in the Marble Church nor any other place of worship. Until 1840, Danish monarchs were coronated in the chapel of the Royal Palace, but since then their enthronement has been marked by little more than an announcement. Queen Margrethe's being on the 14th of January 1972, Her Majesty is only weeks away from her Golden Jubilee. God bless you, Mom. During our mystery album, Mystery Family's Visit, the King of Denmark was Christian X, who ruled for 34 years between 1912 and 1947, a successor to Erik Plaupenny, Vladimir the Young, Harald the Soft, Canute the Great, Gorm the Old, and Erik the Memorable. Previously, a humble author was out of his depth, never having travelled on the Stockton to Darlington Railway, sailed the Norfolk Broads, or fly-fished on the River Swale. Regular readers will be pleased to hear that during his previous life, more interesting, this modest reviewer of old photos became familiar with Copenhagen. Better still, he had his camera with him, allowing for the My to be put into Maestri album. If our mystery family continued the well-trod tourist path to Rosenborg Castle, I have followed in their footsteps and recall the Dutch Renaissance-style royal residence as being pleasantly lived in. An opportunity presented itself to view Crown Consort Hendrik's CD collection. Reassuringly lowbrow bookshelves and overflowing ashtrays. Having said that, one's memory is fogged by exhaustion after trousering the daily subsistence and kipping in the overnight cinema opposite Tivoli. Before all these noisy and exciting Scandinavian murders, local film was ponderous, in Danish, and not difficult to sleep through. Variety was provided by nights at Copenhagen Central Railway Station, where the 24-hour airport shuttle lounge could be used by the ticketless if one was nicely dressed, clean-shaven and polite. Pretending to read the financial news helped. Pork and barley prices were helpfully immortalised daily on the inside back page of the Herning Volkelblad. No matter how puddled my recollection, I was definitely received at Rosenberg Castle, as I have a photo. Down in the basement, King Christian IV's crown was kept in a bulletproof case in amongst a load of old tat and junk. What I can say with certainty is that Prince Henrik was a Knight of the Grand Order of the Elephant, an award which, believe it or not, features large in our story. Besides his Grand Order, Crown Consort Henrik also had a wife with her own navy, the only excuse required to dig into a blood-stained and battered derring-do box for some grey funnel-lined porn. Tied up at Amielhaven, on the waterfront side of the palaces of Amielberg, sits a visitor to Copenhagen, Commandante Roberto Ivens of the Portuguese Navy. Built at Atelier, a Chantier de Bretagne of Nantes, F-482 was commissioned into the Portuguese Navy in 1968. A 1,750-ton Joao Belo-class frigate, she was purchased from the French in a hurry for the defence of African Macanese and Timorese waters that were then the responsibility of colonial Portugal. Decommissioned in 1998 after a collision at sea, her two sister ships didn't leave the fleet until 2008 when sold to Uruguay and replaced by former Dutch Navy Karel Doorman-class frigates. The opposite side of the Hans-Brolobert Channel lay the Holmen Naval Base. The 2,700-ton Her Majesty's Danish ship F-352 Pederskram is pictured alongside. Locally built, Pederskram was in service between 1966 and 1990 and is currently a museum ship further along the same dockside. Port of Pederskram was F-354 Niels Juel, a corvette decommissioned in 1990, to starboard just visible can be seen P-530, a Daphne-class Seawood defence vessel. In my day, a friend tells me, the area behind Holmen, enclosed between the naval base and the battlements of Holmen Island, was known as Freetown Christiania, a decadent outsized hippie weirdo commune, notable for free love beneath a haze of sweet-smelling sticky fog. I'd rather be at the pictures. Holmen Naval Base hasn't survived, with only one part of the island still being used by the Danish Navy. Since the 1990s, the area has been redeveloped, with the land immediately opposite Amelihaven becoming the $370 million Copenhagen Opera House. The Henning Larsen-designed building now completes a direct line of sight along Frederiksgade and past the palaces to the Marble Church. If puppets think 2.5 billion kroner on an opera house is a waste of taxpayers' money, they'll be relieved to hear taxpayers didn't pay for it. Funded by shipping magnate Maersk McKinney Mollers, another knight of the Danish Order of the Elephants, charitable foundation, the building is controversial, with its own Larsen dissociate citing too much interference from his patron and the lawyer. Judge for yourself. Oh, the taxpayer paid for it after all, as a deductible private donation. On the opposite bank at the far end of Larsen's Palos sits another monstrosity attributable to Moller. Maersk's corporate HQ is a dreadful lump. Possibly the worst thing ever built on a waterside. It resembles a low-rise 1970s Glasgow council estate, but without the charm. After the briefest of ports of call, allowing for the taking of only one photograph, we shall imagine our mystery family climbing the gangplank at Amaliehaven to board their own vessel. If their final destination wasn't Copenhagen, where was it? Find out next time on Mystery Album.